Hello, young lovers, whoever you are, I hope your troubles are few. All my good wishes go with you tonight. I've been in love.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark.
Brave and faithful and true, and cling very close to each other tonight. I've been in love like you. And I know how it feels to have wings on your heat.
Laura Berger, Glenn Tabaldio with us. They are the authors of Falling in Love Again Every Day, Three Steps to True Connection for Any Couple. As a matter of fact, the Laura's an executive coach and a women's leadership expert. Glenn is a CPA, a PMP. He's a project and change management consultant. They've appeared regularly on radio, spreading their Right, Read, and Relate message. Their company is Birdio Group, LLC, and Lauren Glenn are married, and they live in Fort Lauderdale. And let's say, guys, welcome to the show.
Absolute pleasure to be here. How are you?
How are you? Oh, I am good. Thank you both for being here. You know, there's the biggest problem that we have today, and I think it's even getting worse. The divorce rate is about 50-55%, and it is growing. Second year, I think, is even worse than that. When the two of you got together, you know, you fell in love, you put it together. When did you realize that there were things in a marriage that you weren't even aware of that pop up and people have to address?
That's funny you should ask. It's a very distinct point in time. And we decided in 2006 that we were kind of gagging on our professions. We had too much of a good thing. We were way too motivated. We needed a break. And we went off to the jungles of Costa Rica to live for a while. The nearest traffic light was about an hour and a half away. And we were at the top of this hill. And, you know, things were great. The nature was awesome. But in such a change like that, and with less infrastructure than we were used to, and in a home that kind of didn't work the way we wanted to, being up on that hill alone together and being in such an abrupt change really peeled back layers of us that we didn't realize existed. We still loved each other. Excuse me, we still respected each other, but it was a lot at once.
You know, it's an interesting point. When you don't have the pressure of the profession, you don't have the pressure of driving back and forth to work every day, you don't have the pressure of the financial pressure of keeping it all together, the cultural pressures, the news, the media, the rest of it, it's very interesting to see what happens when none of it's there and the only thing in the world is the two of you looking at each other.
Absolutely, Michael. You use the word pressure. I use the word distraction. So when you take all of those distractions away and it's just the two of you, you start to learn things about one another that was, you know, being occupied by distractions.
No, absolutely. Laura, I think the biggest problem that we have as regards to relationships is this. You and I meet, and I'm not going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you who I think you would like me to be. Now I've got this mask on. Then we get together and I get more comfortable. And as I get comfortable, I become Michael. And 6-8 months later, this is not the guy that you met. And you say to me, you're changing. But down deep, I haven't changed. I'm finally coming out. And when you guys are alone, what I'm hearing is the real yous come out.
Absolutely. And, you know, come from a guy's perspective, when guys end up upsetting their spouses or their significant others, when we have a problem, you know, we tend to withdraw and try to go fix it. And the female will chase, will want to talk. We like to be analytical. We like to plan out our response to things. And that's how these types of communications things, you know, the problems, they kind of spread like wildfire. You have a little problem at first, and then you want to go fix it, and then, you know, she comes and asks, I want to talk through it, I'm not ready yet. She gets angry, and it just becomes a perpetuating thing. And so you need a way to sit down safely and be heard in full and kind of break that cycle.
Laura, when you're in that position with the two of you all alone, basically alone, and was he the same guy that you came there with? Did you find another Glenn?
Yes, I did. So before we went to Costa Rica, you know, we were very much going down an independent career path, and I prided myself in being this independent woman. And when we moved to Costa Rica, Glenn had really stepped up to the plate in terms of navigating the country and speaking the language, and there was a dependency there that I had on him that I hadn't had before, and he was kind of leading me too. So he took the reins and he was taking the lead, and I was looking at him going, wow, I've never really seen him do that, because I was always doing it myself and not allowing him to really come in and assist. So that was new for him and new for me to experience. So it was somewhat of a role reversal a little bit.
Yeah, but the word that would come up would be, quote unquote, survival. And that's what he did. He jumped in and he did everything that you would possibly want to do to be able to survive in that circumstance. You could have gone to any given city in the country and the same thing would have happened. When I say would have happened, if you have to survive, what's innate within you is going to come out when you need it to come out. Before you guys went, it didn't have to come out in him.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's absolutely right. And when we were there, there were other things that I excelled at that kind of complemented the culture much more than we ever anticipated. So I think that, and I'm speaking for Laura, it wasn't in her rhythm to work within the culture. The culture is very passive. Everything's about diplomacy. There are no outbursts. If something's not going the way you want it to go, which often they didn't, and we were used to getting things when we wanted them in a modern culture. So, for example, we didn't have a phone. We tried to get a phone for 7 months. We never had a phone. And so Laura was looking at my reactions. She wanted me to jump in and be aggressive, but being a person who, for example, is passive, she couldn't understand. She couldn't understand until kind of we came back why I was reacting the ways I was reacting. She thought I was just rolling over on things, and that even made it worse between us because she had never seen me functioning in that manner.
No, by the way, I think a great example of that is try living in Fairbanks, Alaska for a while. When I first went up there, I was brought up in Los Angeles, fast-paced business, yada, yada. And if you get out of the city and you talk to somebody living away from the city, it's like, how's it going? Dead silence for 2 minutes. Fine. So it's learning a completely different language. And you're right. It is the culture. If you don't tie into the culture, you're going to have a lot of problems there. But what caused you to pick Costa Rica?
I think I'll take that one again because it was more on my side of the relationship at that time than anything else. There was something about the place, and I see it in people's eyes. And when we were there, I saw it in people's eyes. There's a smile at cash registers. There's a smile in restaurants. Everybody waves when you drive around. The nature is lush. It almost feels like a natural Disneyland of places. And it was laid back. It was friendly. It just felt like a place where, personally, my spirit needed to sit at the time because, as I said, I was kind of gagging on my profession. I was working like crazy. And it just felt like I was sitting in a nice, frumpy chair.
No, by the way, that sounds like America in the 1950s. Serious. But
we'll take your word for it.
Yeah, but we've changed. I think what we're really dealing with and what I'm hearing you guys, and stop me if I'm wrong because I didn't experience it the way you did, but it's something called acceptance and identity. And we're missing that here because it's so rush, everybody's moving, going and doing. But when you go to a place like that, when it slows down and they're smiling because they're accepted and they have an identity of being who they are in that place at the moment. And it's a culture. And I wish we could have more of that here today.
It is acceptance and identity. And I think here in the United States, our identity is what we do. And it was very much the case that I experienced that. So when we moved to Costa Rica, nobody cared what I did. They didn't care about me rattling off, I was the blah, 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 or, they didn't care because it was about who I am as a person. So identity was a real struggle because I was always associating myself with that.
No, absolutely. Great example. I remember when I was a kid, if you had a cool car, you were somebody. But if you didn't have the car, all of a sudden you weren't anybody anymore. And I think it's one of the biggest problems that we have in this particular culture. And I would venture to guess if people were reading the book, they began to see themselves within it, the problems that they had within it, and realize that what they were missing. And you could take that what you're missing and create it for yourself, even in today's world. You guys came back, and yet it's the same. You can bring that or create that anywhere you go, but you got to know it's there.
Sure, and as a guy, you can imagine that when you're, we still are, even though society is changing, old habits die hard. We get our validation in the home is through contributing, through work, through success, through, and I'm not saying that Laura didn't, she definitely did, but for a guy, I think it's definitely innate in you, and being in a place where that was all stripped out, then you're looking at your wife and you're saying, what do I have to contribute now? I mean, you can do the emotional stuff, we can talk up here and whatnot, but I can't, you know, excel and bring anything, and you can't admire me. So we use a technique called Write, Read, Relate to get through those issues, because we were trying to cope with all those changes and getting to know the new people that we were with.
What you just said, the new people you were with, and isn't it interesting that they're not new people? They're the base of what people are and started out to be, and we learned to be different.
Yep.
We became the new people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, now, in a relationship, the communication, the ability to connect with each other, what was one of the main things that you learned?
So we, as I mentioned, we use this technique called Write, Read, Relate. And we can go into all the benefits of it and why it's so great, but essentially what it does is it breaks these bad habits we have in communicating, interrupting each other. Let me give you an example of a just one sentence that in a relationship would be very difficult to say if somebody was really upset. Yesterday you offended me, but now I forgive very much, but now I forgive you. If we're hot, you're not going to get past the yesterday you offended me. So what we did was every single day, instead of getting into these fights about the same things over and over again, we grabbed notebooks, we chose a question, we wrote about it, we committed to writing for 10 minutes in silence about it. We exchanged notebooks, we read about it, and then we discussed it for 10 minutes.
How about,
and that really avoided the interruption and the fighting.
Yeah, but how about adding a little twist to that, okay? How about
sure.
Thinking that yesterday when I offended myself through you, I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have in communication. You said it earlier, you know, the blame, we point a finger, we do whatever there is to do. But when we get to realize it, it's all us. We recognize something in the way somebody looked, the way somebody said something, the way they're acting at the time, which usually has nothing to do with what they're meaning, but it's the way you take it. You know, talking isn't communication in any way, shape, or form. It's the response of the person on the other side that you're getting. And I think one of the most important things to get is that other person doesn't do anything. You do it yourself. When you've recognized something you like or you dislike, and 9 out of 10 times, you never really get down to the core unless you realize that. It's called being responsible for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think when you're speaking to one another, you're evaluating facial expressions or just body movement and even voice, tone of voice, or breathing, how the other person is breathing, and you are processing that and making all of these assumptions. So you're not really even listening to what the other person is saying because you're evaluating that on the spot.
No question about it. And that evaluation doesn't have to be right now. That evaluation can be something that happened 10, 15 years ago from somebody else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, I had a funny, because I had this luxury when we were in our past lives of sitting in traffic, lots and lots of traffic. And if Laura said something to me that I detected, there's something there, before she hung up the phone,
yeah.
I would think through it and think through it and think through it. And I'd be in traffic and I have nothing to do but think through it. And by the time I walked through the door, I was already hanging on my cross or dragging it behind me.
Yeah.
And it was just bad news. I mean, it was nothing, but it turns into something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I really believe, you know, I'm thinking of something that that I've never thought of before as I'm listening to you talk. I guess it's called, if you want to be with me, if you're going to talk to somebody on the opposite end of that, if you want to be with me, you've got to be more of yourself. And I really believe that's what it is. There's these masks, these facades that we put up, and we're waiting to be insulted. We're waiting for the argument to happen. We're waiting to prove ourselves right about ourselves, that we're not worth it, and whoever it is shouldn't be with us. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we run into today. It just be who you are, and it's okay. If we could all have permission to be who we were, I think the world would be completely different.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the real benefits of journaling to one another rather than speaking, because you have the ability, if you're using a laptop, of a backspace key. You have the ability to cross out, to say, you know, if your foot's in your mouth, you can take it out without her seeing.
Sure.
And so we can actually be ourselves on paper and present our thoughts in a way that won't get us into trouble, because lots of times, you know, we have the experience of communication. We're just not that good at it.
No, and it's called be safe.
We can go back and we can retool.
Is it? We're starting to run out of time, but let me ask you this question: Is it that we're not good at it, or we don't know how to do it? That's why I think what you guys have is a real good thing, because it's a roadmap. It's for somebody who doesn't know how to do it to say, here's an alternative. If you do this, and if it works for you, you got a relationship. It's happening constantly, and you can move from there. That's the problem. Well, can you remember any class you've ever had in high school, grammar school, the junior high school, that said, this is how to be in a relationship, this is how to be in love, and this is what it looks like? No. You get out on the street, you get smacked, you fall down, you learn a little bit, you do something else. Some people never get it, and some people do get it. And that's where the problem is. It's taking everything you guys have gone through, consolidating into a book, and where somebody can spend a couple, 3 hours, go through it, and not have to go through all the pain and torture that they would have gone through had they not learned some of the valuable lessons and steps to get where they need to be.
It is about learning how to do it. And I think it's a combination. So, you know, if you look at media and reality television shows and relationships, there's so much, it's just all about the arguing, and it isn't about really understanding. So the technique is a how to do this. So you hear relationship counselors like, you need to communicate.
Yeah.
Write, read, relate is the to-do. It is how to communicate in an effective manner.
No, total key, and I got it.
People can really learn it. It doesn't even take the 3 hours. We have a book where it'll probably be about an hour and a half read. It's called Fall in Love Every Day. It's coming out this month. But people can go out to our website at writereadrelate.com and learn this, I'm not kidding, in 5 minutes. We have a quick reference guide out there if they sign up with 10 starter questions. They can be off to the races.
Wow. Okay, by the way, both of you, I thank you both so much for coming on tonight. We just ran out of time, but one more time, please, with the website and again the name of the book.
Sure. It's called Fall in Love, Laura.
Fall in Love Again Every Day.
Thank you.
And the website is writereadrelate.com.
You see, at time and again, it depends on the right time to take the lead. You got it. Good shift.
And as you can see, I have trouble with communications.
Hi, guys. Good night, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Good night.